Are you ready to start living and creating your life from possibility, joy, and ease? What if every day could be a miraculous adventure? Welcome to Creating Beyond Reality Radio. Join us for a dynamic conversation of creation and possibility. Now, here is our host, creatress of magnitude, Heather Nichols.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Creating Beyond Reality Radio. This is Heather Nichols, and I'm excited to be live with you guys this week with my lovely guest, Miss Cara Wright, talking about the upside of upside down. Now, what on earth is the upside of upside down? Well, we will find out. But it's when, like, I know for me, I just started looking at, like, everywhere that I don't, where I'm in the world interacting with people and sort of like, did what I say just register with that person, or is that what they said? Or, and getting a little like things being flipped, things seeming backwards, things seeming like, they're not as they appear, or you don't even necessarily know how they appear to be. and just a little introduction to Cara. One of my favorite people on the planet, for sure. Somebody that I just absolutely love being with, talking to, creating with. She's an access consciousness facilitator. She's an X-Men certified facilitator, and just a brilliant being and creator. Has lots of awareness about all kinds of things. The X-Men body of work, which is a lot of what we'll be talking about today, where you might just function really different in the world than other people, and maybe you haven't realized that yet, or maybe you have, and maybe you don't know what to do with it. So welcome, Cara. I'm really, really curious and excited to see where we go.
Me too. This is a big, big topic, and one I have a lot of personal experience with, for sure.
Yes. Yes. So do tell. Where would you like to start?
Yeah, where to start? You know, it is, you know, like you said, the X-Men body of work is one of those things where we talk a lot about labels, things where people are labeled with a disability. And from Access's point of view, what if these things aren't necessarily disabilities? And what if the labels aren't actually true to actually what's occurring? And my whole life growing up, I am pretty certain I knew I was very different. I think I did a lot of things to try to not be different. And how that actually showed up for me was I didn't actually get labeled. And so some of the labels we talk about with the X-Men body of work is things like autism, ADD, ADHD, dyslexia, OCD, even some of the anxiety disorders that people have, you know. And it's like so funny nowadays, like when I was growing up, I was basically labeled shy. And I would probably say introverted and, you know, those weren't necessarily medical labels. Nowadays, it's quite funny because there's so much of a surge of, instead of saying, oh, that person's shy or that child is shy, it's, you know, they have an anxiety disorder or they have much more of a medical-based label.
Yeah.
And we do talk a lot about that in the X-Men body work, but like how that really showed up for me growing up is that I spent a lot of time internally being completely confused by everything going on around me. Like, I don't even think I really registered how confused I was all the time. Like, my normal, quote unquote, inside my own head was pretty much always wondering what was going on around me and why I couldn't get it. And yeah, because of that, I didn't really talk a lot, I don't think. Thinking back, I think I thought I was more social than I actually was. Mm. I think I spent a lot of time by myself. I have memories like in grade school of everybody would be on the, you know, playground, and I would be out in the back 40 in the corner looking for four-leaf clovers. That was kind of where I would figure out ways to be able to stay inside. Because, like, for me, especially with this thing we're talking about today, where the interaction with other people and that ability to communicate clearly what it is that I was trying to communicate, and also not so much understand what other people were communicating, but to a degree, because oftentimes, and some of you may know this, is that when people actually talk, it doesn't always match what they're actually doing. It doesn't always match the energy of like the emotion coming from them. Yeah. And so it can be very confusing to somebody who's incredibly aware. And so, you know, staying inside, helping the teachers was kind of, I did that a lot too. Like I, like back as a child, I'm like, man, I was like really weird. And I didn't know I was weird. I just knew I spent a lot of time confused.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what changed for you, and how, like, how did that change, and
what happened? So, I mean, that's how I was as a child. Mm-hmm. I think most of us have the ability to create personas and to create personalities and a way of being around other people that you kind of like faking it, fake it till you make it type of thing. And so I did do that. I mean, I grew up, I had friends, I did sports, I did pretty good in school. Although this piece of having a dyslexia that I hadn't registered, there's a lot of things I hadn't registered because I wasn't labeled, which is a gift in a lot of ways. But in a lot of ways, I just kind of spent my time going, wow, why? I do not understand anything here. what is going on? And then, you know, honestly, as an adult, what it ended up becoming is I had like a huge anxiety disorder. Like I had a lot of anxiety, and it just continued to get worse and worse and worse. And there was a point where I didn't have one or two triggers. I had like a bazillion triggers. And so again, the only thing that I started to do at that time was isolate myself. You know, I found a couple people that somehow I figured out how to communicate with. I surrounded myself by animals because they're super clear and easy to communicate with. And really had like, you know, I had a lot of OCD, like everything just kind of ramped up. And then I found access was really the thing. And I think the minute I started to get my bars run, a different possibility showed up. Something like, you know, that I could start to acknowledge that I am actually different. Because I think one of the things that happens when you are different and you're not labeled is that you never really truly acknowledge how different you are, which I think one of the first things that started to change this for me is my ability to recognize where I'm different and to be able to acknowledge it. Because then you have choice. You don't just suffer confusion all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, bars was probably, you know, and I've done a lot of access in the last 5 years, and I became a facilitator. I didn't actually find the X-Men body of work probably until my second year or my third year. I actually had a private session with Diva Diaz, who is a X-Men facilitator extraordinaire. She's amazing. And I had the session because what occurred was as I chose and as I got my bars run and as I asked more questions as we do in Access and as I use the tools, the thing we talk about in X-Men is that oftentimes the things you get labeled for or diagnosed with is actually not necessarily a wrongness. It's actually a strongness. It's a capacity that's showing up that you have. And so what happened for me is like everything got bigger and louder and more mm-hmm. obvious. And mm-hmm. I kind of was like, I don't know how to be, because everything I had kind of put in place to be normal was falling away. Mm. And so I started working with her, and she just started asking me a lot more questions, so that I think the main thing I started to do was acknowledge, like, wow, I am really different. Like, the 10% that I thought I was different, it's like 1,000%. And yeah. I don't think like anyone else. I don't communicate like anyone else. So being able to stop the comparison between how I function and how other people function, it was a beginning of a different possibility. Mm.
That's so cool. Yeah, it really, I didn't realize how different I was either for a really long time. Until really like the past few years, and finding access consciousness and having these conversations. And I think one of the pieces too is that just really popped for me when you were talking is the sense of, nobody really like invites us to be aware of how aware we are. That's not a conversation that happens in the world in general, like mm-hmm. looking at like getting how aware so many people and, you know, people that are X-Men and that are drawn to these conversations, how aware they are of energy. And mm-hmm. when you're in the world, like there's hardly anybody. I know Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness, says, if people are talking, they're lying. And and what that means is not that they're lying to you because they're mean and awful and they want to lie, but there isn't a congruence with what, like, the energy that they're being, what's actually true, which is something that you're going to be aware of, and what's coming out of their mouth. Yeah. And so a lot of times when you have the levels of awareness that a lot of X-Men have, you are perceiving all of these energies that people are being, and all of their crazy stuff and all of their, you know, thoughts and all of their judgments of themselves and other people and all yeah. the weird stuff going on in their world. And they're not talking about it. They're not telling you about it. And so as a kid, if nobody is inviting you to be aware of what's actually going on, mm-hmm. And to trust your awareness, then that can be really crazy making, you know, and yeah. it can create anxiety, and it can create the desire to not be around other people. And, you know, just for a lot of people, it's just easier to be by yourself, because then you don't have that going on, like the yeah. cacophony of energy yeah. that we perceive, but we don't necessarily acknowledge.
Well, and oftentimes too, you know, and I was just thinking of the funny example of, like, you know, when you're kids and, like, little kids, oftentimes when they first start to, like, kind of like each other as boy and girls do, like kids uh-huh. can, like, uh-huh. you know, the little boy who picks on you, like, my mom was always like, he's probably just picking on you because he likes you. And that was so, like, what in the hell are you talking about? Like,
yeah.
That is, like, a funny example of what the majority of people do on the planet, because we're actually not also taught here to be very succinct with what we say and what we're energetically delivering either. Like, we communicate very weird here. Mm-hmm. And that is something that, you know, so for somebody who's, like, really, really aware, like you said, it can be very confusing, alarming, lots of other things.
Yeah, totally. I know for me, I loved having imaginary friends as a kid. Like, I would always go out on my swing set and just play with all of my friends that were just imaginary. And that was really satisfying because they were just energetic. They weren't, you know, they weren't like telling me things that weren't true, that I knew weren't true.
Yeah. The thing too, like, and I spent a lot of time around animals, and I spent a lot of time just naturally. It wasn't like I cognitively went, I'm going to spend time around my cat because it's not giving me all these mixed signals. Or like I would spend time, like I said, out kind of basically in nature, like as far away from people as I could be and surrounded more by the land as I could mm-hmm. be. Because again, it's a very, there's more of a consistent, coherent energy there.
Yeah.
Because the thing that can happen to people too is that, you know, like a lot of X-Men take that like incongruency of energy that they're aware of. And like you said, that cacophony of information. And oftentimes it is something that becomes physical, like kids get stomach aches. Kids will rock or even like harm themselves, you know, like scratch themselves or pick at things or bite their nails. Or I remember I used to like chew on my hair, drove my mother freaking batty crazy. But looking back now, I know I was doing that in order to, as a way of trying to organize everything that was coming in. It was like mm-hmm. that one physical thing, or kids will like rub a leg and my body still does that now even. And yeah. So just having information about this particular subject in a different way, I think, can be really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And when you begin to just even, I mean, and the thing is, it's like, just even from this conversation, like people that are listening that are like, oh, wow, that may be what's going on with me. You know, what if even just the awareness of that could change something for you, you know, where you just, yeah. And that's what's shown up for me is mm-hmm. really just going, wow, okay, cool. So right now I'm aware of a lot of different things. I'm aware of a lot of different energies. Okay, cool. So, you know, and you don't even have to necessarily like name everything and define it and, you know, but it's just even acknowledging, okay, I'm in a lot of different people's worlds right now. You know, and what would it be like to actually be in my world and to acknowledge that and to recognize that this isn't about me being crazy. This is about me being aware. Mm-hmm. And that in and of itself can create a lot of space and a lot of change, yeah. A lot more ease.
It can be the beginning of having your own space, because it's very, from that place of that massive amount of awareness, if you're not willing to acknowledge how much of that is actually not you and it's just what you're aware of, it's very hard to communicate in a clear way. Because yeah. What you do is you attempt to try to, well, I guess I can speak from my perspective. What I do in that space when I'm not acknowledging how aware I am is I try to create those energies of coherent, and then I try to deliver what I think is being asked of me to deliver communication-wise. But the problem with that is that you have 100 different requests
mm-hmm.
of how the information so it's very hard to figure all of that out. So yeah. It can be very energetically exhausting and confusing. And then yeah. Not necessarily the clearest thing that yeah. you've said.
Yeah. Yep. Well, but I'd love to get more into tools and, you know, yeah. just how, so, you know, sort of, okay, now what, you know, and we are actually at our first break. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll get more into, you know, okay, so now what can you do with this? How can you, what tools can you use to have a lot more ease? And I wonder what else when we come back.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness the Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head. that when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and as a result cannot change. The BARS is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a BARS session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a BARS class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
Hi, this is Dr. Dane here. Have you felt different your whole life? A dreamer, a seeker, an outsider? Always wrong no matter how hard you try? What if there's a completely different way of functioning in this reality? What if you, truly being you, could change everything and the world? If you'd like to find out, go to beingyouclass.com. 12 years ago, I was on the verge of suicide and I came into contact with some amazing tools that changed everything for me. Today, I live a life I couldn't even imagine possible at that time. I have the honor of traveling around the world facilitating thousands of people on how to change their lives with these very tools. I'd like to share some of them with you. Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for my free video series. My gift to you. What if the tools to change everything are available now? Are you ready to explore these tools in this energy live? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com. You know if this is for you. You always do.
Have you always wondered what it would be like to have more fun, ease, joy, and success in your business? What if your business could be more fresh, vibrant, and thriving every day? Heather Nichols' Generative Business Pods program is a six-month business creation intensive of embodying question, choice, possibility, and contribution as the main elements for creating a dynamically different and wildly successful business. What if exponential growth in your business and income could come from being more of you? Find out more at heathernichols.com/businesspods.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
You are listening to Creating Beyond Reality with Heather Nichols. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to Heather at heathernichols.com. That's Heather at heathernichols.com. Now, back to Creating Beyond Reality.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Heather Nichols, and we're here this week talking about the upside of Upside Down with Miss Cara Wright. Let's talk a little bit about dyslexia. We were just talking about that at the break.
Well, it's one of those things where I actually, when I started, when I learned about the X-Men body of work, dyslexia wasn't one of the ones that, like, I thought popped for me. I could see, you know, I knew for sure I was, like, I had OCD tendencies, I'll say. And I knew that, you know, some of the other things, you know, some of the autism spectrum things, like some of them actually where I could see they actually applied and related to me. The dyslexia one was one that is actually just more recently that I've really started to acknowledge that I do have a capacity with it. And what that actually is, because I think most people think dyslexia is where you just flip two letters in a word, right? Mm-hmm. Most people are familiar with dyslexia, like, you know, instead of the number being 72, you see 27. And that is something that shows up for me every now and again. But it's not something that I grew up in school having a hard time with, mm-hmm. you know, although I was often in the quote unquote resource reading and the quote unquote resource math, like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but I didn't really, like, it wasn't like where I was obviously flipping things around. And so it wasn't something that I considered until I was in a class with Dane here and was actually talking to him about this thing that I had become aware of where I would have something that I wanted to say, I would say it out my mouth, thinking that I was saying what I wanted to say. And then what the person would reply to me back at was exactly the opposite of what I had asked. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we talk about, one of the tools that's actually super helpful with this in, it's an access tool, but it's also in the X-Men body of work, is something we say everything is the opposite of what it appears to be and nothing is the opposite of what it appears to be. Mm-hmm. We call it the crazy phrase. And it's something you can do if you're really feeling, I often use it if I have like energies and thoughts, or like if I had a conversation with somebody and I can't stop the conversation from going over and over in my head. And so I will say that until whatever that energetic connection is kind of dissipates. But what was going on is that I basically was the embodiment of everything was the opposite of what it appears to be. And what I hadn't realized is that dyslexia can be a flipping of energy too. It doesn't have to mean that you actually flip a word or you flip an idea. It can be energetic. It can have absolutely no cognitive thing to put with it. And so because it was like that for me, I just continued to wonder why what was coming out my mouth, the person was hearing obviously the opposite of what I thought I was saying. So I was like, am I saying it wrong? Are they, can they not hear me? Like, what is going on? Wow. So when that was actually pointed out to me, it was like such a awesome awareness and a relief, actually. Cause then I was like, oh, that's like the whole beginning, the process of acknowledging what's actually true for you and what's going on for you is such, most of the time for me, it's total relief, because then I'm like, oh, like that is what has been occurring. And so then you can actually use some of the tools. You can actually start to see what's actually going on and either ask a question, choose something different, use a particular tool. Often for this particular thing, it's like more about just being really present with what it is that I am wanting to say and deliver while being present with what that person can receive. Because what can happen is like the level of awareness that you can have with some of these capacities is so great that you can literally have a conversation energetically with someone before anything happens verbally, which we don't actually acknowledge is possible in this culture. And so oftentimes you can say out your mouth what the other person is actually either oftentimes not wanting to say, wanting to avoid, you know, isn't acknowledging themselves. And so you say something that they're actually not willing to look at. And so they, in reference to that, like they can't actually hear you. And so it starts this very strange, upside down conversation.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I had it just happen to me. And I was like, oh. What's cool too is when you start to acknowledge this, you actually start to see where it happens. I was having a conversation at the 7-day that we just went to. It was a Access Consciousness 7-day, which is an amazing, phenomenal class you can choose. Access. But I was speaking to somebody about something, and there was these two different possibilities. One of the conversations was, you know, whether you're a leader or whether you're someone who likes to be in charge, and and what those two different energies are. And I was looking a lot at like, okay, so in what circumstances am I willing to be a leader? Where am I actually like doing the in charge thing? What's actually going on? And I was getting really clear in my own universe, and I was having a conversation with this other person about a particular project. And I was like, we were talking, and I was like, no, but I'm in charge there. And I was like, what is, because where I had been getting very clear with myself is like, oh, I actually, in a lot of ways, I choose to, I'm willing to be a leader. I'm not really an in charge person. And yet it literally came out my mouth in that conversation. And so I had this moment of like, oh, where I was totally incongruent with what was true for me, because I was more aware of that person's point of view of me than I was aware of what I knew was true for me. And it literally came out of my mouth, and I was like, wait a second.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's like one example of like a gazillion.
Yeah.
I think it happens so much for people. They don't even realize it's happening. Like, you're just kind of vomiting other people's projections and expectations and points of view of you. Because you literally are aware of them. You are picking that out of their head. You're energetically aware of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is so wild. Wow. Okay. All right, then. I'm dyslexic.
And aware.
Highly.
Combination.
Yeah, totally. Oh, my gosh. So let's talk about some tools for how to, like, I mean, because that's a whole, like, I look at that and I'm very aware of people listening now and in the future, and I can perceive this, like, rabbit hole kind of like, oh, my God, like, that's a whole universe of, like, you know, just, like, flipping, things being flipped and in this way and then in that way. And so what if it truly didn't have, so everything that this is bringing up for everybody, including me, let's destroy and uncreate it. Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, puck, punch,
yes, please.
Hands. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what I just said, that's the Access Consciousness Clearing Statement, which is basically like a shortened version of a clearing that really deletes energy, like the energy of limitation or of like, oh my God, I can't even talk about this. I can't even hear that. You know, whatever might be going on for you, literally just can change that energy in your world.
Such a gift.
Like, I'm like, oh, that's better.
Yep.
So, because, I mean, it's just, like, that just actually makes me look at my whole, like, where, how do I interact with people? What, like, looking at, you know, some interactions that I have had with people or just in general, like how I show up with people in the world. And I'm noticing like some part of me that's like, oh man, I think being in the woods is probably like a really better idea, you know? Because it's like, there can be that thing of like, oh, it's a lot of work, you know, which I think is where a lot of us come from. And Cara and I were also just talking about this at the break. I had a really cool conversation with Gary Douglas, the founder of Access, at the 7-day class that I was just at as well, about the internet and how when I go online sometimes I literally, like, it's almost like I get sucked into the entire internet and I start to perceive the whole internet and everything that it has to offer. And then I go... it's sort of like information overload. And then I just sort of go blank, although I'm not really blank, but it seems like blank to me. It's like almost sort of like energetic overload in a way. Mm-hmm. And what we talked about was how, you know, what a capacity it is and how I could actually, like, if I were to be aware of it and ask different questions, how I could actually be accessing the most conscious parts of the internet and like asking to interact with one thing that I'm doing instead of like the entire internet, you know? So I started to look at that and I was just saying to Cara, I got to put these questions on my computer, like tape them to my computer. Cause it really, I get how helpful this is going to be, but it's that sense of like, what if the capacity to perceive that much information, that much energy, to have that much awareness and to be like, what if we could actually really, really use it in a creative and generative way rather than like flipping it into our own worlds and using it against ourselves because we can just handle it and we don't really know what else to do. So everything that doesn't allow all of us to be, know, perceive, and receive the capacities and the brilliance that this is and how we could use it to our advantage to create something very different, can we destroy and uncreate that?
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pack, pad, shirts, ways, and beyonds. Cool. So, so let's talk tools then. Like what, I mean, obviously question, like what's right about me, I'm not getting, what's right about this, I'm not getting. Asking questions is great. Can you share some tools for the dyslexia and then we can go from there.
Yeah, I mean, and the one that has been so helpful for me, we've already talked about a little bit, is the actual acknowledgement of what's going on. Like, and then actually being willing to be present with your capacity. So, you know, acknowledge it in that 5 seconds and then forget 38 minutes later when you're actually communicating with somebody, like being willing to be present with your capacity and what that looks like for you and how it shows up for you. And some of the questions I use, what's right about me or what's right about this I'm not getting, those are some of my favorite tools to not really stay locked in the confusion.
Yeah.
Then the other one that is such a gift for all X-Men with amazing capacities and awareness is, what am I perceiving? And is this mine? Because what I was actually willing to be present with and actually be the question with in that conversation was the fact that I'm in charge energy was not that was not resonant with me at all. So when it came out of my mouth, I was willing to be present and enough to go, okay, that's like, that is like a big red, like, blinker of, you know, like, what is that? And then, you know, and then to be like, oh, okay, cool. So what am I perceiving that I've not acknowledged that if I did acknowledge it would allow me to not reactively respond?
That's cool.
Yeah. And the other one, so I mean, that's just being the question and asking those questions and being willing to ask them like a million times a day if you have to. Like,
Which is also part of being present, you know?
Yeah.
That's something that I, that's one of the biggest, takeaways that I have from the 7 day is how not present I actually have been when I have always seen, well, not always, but you know, I you know, in the past, I don't know, 5 years, I've seen myself as a very present person, and in a way I am. And what happened for me at the class this past week was I really got to see where I take myself out of presence because I don't want to be aware of what I'm aware of. And that's a huge demand in my world, is now, and I'm really creating even just today, I got home yesterday yesterday while I was traveling, and today it's like, no, really, in this 10 seconds, how present can I be? You know, in this moment, how present can I be? What would I actually like to choose? One question that Gary gave me is, what would it be like to live as dynamically as I can every moment of every day? Mm-hmm. And I've put that on my phone. It's on my wallpaper on my phone now. One of the questions that I'm really playing with, because that is, to me, that is presence. And when you are living dynamically, you are aggressively present. And then you can actually, when you're that present, you can actually use the tools. You have the tools become available to you, even though it's, and what I've seen is it's uncomfortable being as present as I've been the past, you know, couple days since these conversations. And I'm like, wow, this is also such a gift. And there's so much that I can create and be if I'm willing to be as present as I actually can be. So,
and the tool too, like the everything is the opposite of what appears to be, and nothing is the opposite of what appears to be, really. Because what I have found is that once you acknowledge these capacities and once you really start to be present, what happens is they actually do, it's almost like they unleash a bit. And it's almost like, I don't know if you've seen the X-Men movie, the most recent one, but it's like the one where there shows them as kids, like growing up. And there's the one guy who basically, if he takes his glasses off, he's just got this like red beam of light that just shoots out and like takes everything out in front of him.
Wow.
So he like keeps like glasses on and they're like, no, take your glasses off. And he's like, no, you don't want me to take my glasses off. And then he finally takes his glasses off and it like shoots this light and he like takes out this whole tree, you know, and it's just kind of like out of control, really. But it's the willingness to like kind of take off whatever that thing is, that filter, whatever that thing is, and then be like, okay, cool. And what I have found is like what can show up is this like out of control thing. And I use that crazy phrase to just create a little bit more space around it so that I can have more ease with what's showing up and how it's showing up.
Yeah.
So it's a great tool. And the thing about these particular capacities is even just listening to the show can oftentimes start to turn things up. And that would be the other. So I don't know if that's a warning or what.
Sorry, not sorry.
So, but the other thing that I have often found helpful is that when that shows up and like all of a sudden I'm so OCD, I have just one of these crazy days where I just, my OCD just like turns way up. What I would naturally do is go, oh my gosh, how do I stop this? How do I? Mm-hmm. And what I have found, and one of the things we talk a lot about in Access, is what if you were to actually turn it up?
Yeah.
You know, like step into it, kind of lean into what's showing up for you, as opposed to trying to dampen it down, shut it back, put the glasses back on, whatever that thing is. So like, what if you were also asked for things to, like to turn things up when really what you, your first instinct is to go to turn it down, to shut down, to be less quiet, whatever it is, it's showing up.
Yeah. Well, it's like when we're asked, I mean, a lot of times we're just asking for more and we have this awesome phrase too, that is in Access, that is, it never shows up like you think it's going to. And true. And I remind myself that every day, many times a day, because when we're asking for something different, like, and you might just think, you know, you might just be asking to have a happier life, or, you know, to have more ease, or to have, you know, something different with your body, or, but it doesn't, like it's good. The, when you start asking for that and start, you know, desiring change, it's going to show up in a very, very different way than you think. It's never a linear thing. And so a lot of times that's when we do start to feel like we're getting even crazier, or, you know, whatever may be going on for you. Another great tool, great question is this the change that I've been asking for? Actually, I love that question. And if it lightens up your world, it's like, yeah, okay, so you might feel like you're going crazy, but if you acknowledge, wow, I've asked for change and this is the change I've been asking for, and it's looking very different than I thought it would, then that can give you, I mean, for me, I'm like, I celebrate that. That actually allows me to celebrate the discomfort of becoming more aware or more, you know, autistic or more whatever. it's like, okay, cool. So I'm gaining access right now to more of my capacities as we speak. And I don't necessarily know how to be in the world in this moment with these capacities, you know, and I'm going to find out, you know, I'm going to play with it. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep choosing and see, you know, see what I can create from here.
Yeah.
The thing that I love so much about that is that, you know, when we ask for change and it shows up, that's really fun. You know, it's fun to be like, wow, okay, cool. Like this is changing. This thing that I've been really asking to change is changing. And even if it comes with discomfort, you can still, it really does give you something to celebrate and to play with.
I agree. And that's the other thing that brings up another tool that I have desire, like I have asked for more of, but the ability to be an allowance of yourself, where you are, what's occurred, and to not, you know, so harshly judge what it is, you know, that shows up. Because as these capacities show up, especially this dyslexic one, there's oftentimes where I will say something and I'm like, holy crap, that is so not what I meant to say. And so I could really make myself wrong for that. Mm-hmm. And does that actually create what I'm looking to create for myself and the planet? You know, no. So, okay, cool. That didn't go over well. And, you know, how much allowance can I have for myself as these things show up? And as, like you say, things show up and they don't look like what you think they're going to look like. I mean, you could have a demand in your universe that you have better relationships with the people in your life and that you communicate better. And what can show up is that it looks the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. And often that's just all the stuff that's coming up that has, that you either not been willing to be aware of, or the stuff that has to come up that is needing to shift or change.
Yeah.
So how much allowance, you know, and just like space for you can you be in those moments?
Yeah, totally. And that's, I mean, when we're not willing to be that allowance and that space, we actually begin to diminish the change that we're creating. You know, if you go into judgment, like if change starts to show up and you go into judgment of it or of you or both, it actually starts to sort of kill the possibilities that are emerging. Mm-hmm. And it is true. Like so often things can sort of fall apart, you know, so to speak, before they, you know, come together. Just, you know, we might be asking, I had somebody today ask, you know, like, I've been asking for more money and it seems like less is showing up, you know, and it's like, is that actually true when you look at the energy of it? I mean, when you look at your bank account, you know, everybody pretty much goes into judgment when they look at their bank account, you know, but, you know, what if you look at the energy of it, you know, and you look at, okay, so what's actually true here? What am I actually creating here?
Is also a really cool time too to look at, like, am I actually energetically congruent with what I'm asking for? Because you can have that, you can be like that dyslexic thing can show up, energetic dyslexic can show up where you think you're asking for something, but you're actually not energetically. So, and it's not about, again, making yourself wrong for that. It's about, like, what a gift that you actually have the awareness and the knowledge to go, okay, wait, am I actually congruent with what I'm asking? Mm-hmm. Or is there something there that isn't? You know, is there this, like, I think Gary always says, you know, those are kangaroo balls in the room that you've not been willing to.
Yeah.
That's that energetic incongruence. That's that feeling of, like, you know.
Yeah. So say more about that. If somebody is asking for something and it doesn't seem to be showing up and there is a sense of like, okay, so, wow, I'm not actually congruent with the change I've been asking for. What would you say? What tools? What would you recommend?
Yeah. So, I mean, like for that one, it's just that like aggressive presence with yourself and a willingness to like look at what you're creating, but not from the space of like it's good or bad or it's right or wrong. We talk a lot about that in Access. And if you automatically decide something's correct or right or something's wrong or, you know, then you can't actually have the question in your universe of like, wow, am I actually, okay, so I'm asking for money and is there anything here that is, you know, not congruent with that ask? Like, do I feel like I don't deserve money? You know, do I have a point of view that if I have money, this will happen? Or, you know, am I not willing to receive money from a particular group of people? There's so many different things we can do energetically that, and it's really, it's just the willingness to go, okay, if I'm not right or wrong or good or bad, what am I actually creating here? And it's that, again, it's like as soon as you see something, then you can actually choose something different if you so desire.
Yeah.
It's getting to that space of like, oh, like it's using your awareness for you as opposed to against you.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yes. What would it be like if all the aware people in the world use their awareness for them rather than against them? The world would be very different.
Yeah. And what would it, like, I often ask, like, what would it take to, I don't even know how to, it's like I ask it, but it's like an energetic ask. Like, what would it take to be so energetically congruent with what's true for me that when something shows up that doesn't match that, it's obvious.
Mm.
And I can't ignore it. Mm-hmm. I've actually asked for that.
That's really cool.
So, you know.
Yeah.
It's a demand, and it's a, you know, demand at your own, whatever that warning is.
Demand what's the warning?
At your own risk, you know how you're
like, oh, yeah. Right. Because then you're going to have to tell yourself the truth about what's actually true, which isn't always comfortable either.
Yeah, you might.
And always creates more freedom. I mean, really, like, you know, once you get past the whatever, you know, if something doesn't match your point of view. I actually, we're just like throwing tools at you right and left. Gary gave me a question too this past week at the 7-day, which was, what would it take to be everything that I truly be with no point of view?
Yes.
And yeah. I love that because I've asked to be everything and to be everything that I be and all of that. But with no point of view, because it's when we have the points of view about what we can't be, you know, or like what we're, or like I don't want to be that, or I, you know, or what shows up or whatever. It's like when you have a point of view about it, things really get in the way. Well, your point of view gets in the way of what you're going to be willing to be and what you're going to be willing to do and to choose. And so if you're asking for the awareness of what actually matches, you know, what's congruent for you, what's true for you dynamically, then having no point of view about it is really helpful.
Yes.
Yeah. Because that's where we kill the possibilities. Yeah. When we're like, but that doesn't match the... Mm-hmm. Whatever, you know, the like fantasy and the fairy tale that I had about how this whole thing was going to go, you know?
Yeah. And so. It's really the unlearning of what doesn't work for you and the embracing of what does.
Yeah, totally. That's so cool. Well, I know we both have, I have some stuff coming up, X-Men classes, and I'm doing an X-Men telecall that starts on Thursday. It's called X-Men the Creation Series, and we're playing with business, one call on business, one call on money, one call on bodies. So really looking at what are your capacities, where have you decided you're wrong in these areas, or just can't get it right or whatever, things are flipped, all those things, that might actually be a capacity that you have to create business, to create money, to create your body in a really different way. So just want to invite you all to come and play there. The link to join that is heathernichols.com/X-Men Create. I'm really looking forward to those calls. Yeah. And you have some stuff too. What you got? Where can people find more of you and what's going on in your world?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that because the easiest place probably to find me is the accessconsciousness.com website. You can look me up in the search as a facilitator. And I do have some 2-day X-Men classes coming up. I have one on the schedule already for in March. It's in Vancouver. And I also have some other classes that are guarding kind of created for the next year. So there'll be classes in LA. There's going to be classes in Eastern Canada, possibly in Florida, Denver. So there's going to be lots of classes coming up and intros as well. So you can find me on the accessconsciousness.com site and all my classes will be listed there as they get created.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. The 2-day X-Men class is... Mm-hmm. Amazing. Such a gift.
Any of this felt familiar to you, there are definitely a toolbox that you want to have your hands on for sure. I did Access for 4 years before I, or 3 years before I found that the X-Men tools, and it just added a whole nother area where I could just have more of me, have more freedom, have more ease, all of it. So
yeah,
if you make it. They're fantastic classes.
Yes, they really are. Me too. It's created a lot of ease in my world and a lot of creation, like a lot of growth with my business and all the areas of life that I love to play, you know, just to be asking for more. When you get out of the wrongness of you and into the brilliance and the capacities that you be, it's pretty freaking amazing what can show up.
So much.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you, Kara. This is amazing. As always, I just love chatting with you and creating with you, and I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, and have a great week, everybody. We're going to be back next week. I'll be live next week talking about bodies, some body, woo-hoo! Body love, and yeah, have an awesome week.
Thank you for joining us today for Creating Beyond Reality. Make sure to join Heather Nichols again next Monday at noon Pacific and 9 p.m. Central European Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel for another adventure into the brilliance of you. Have an amazing week of possibility and creation.